Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining.
Hello.
I did not get any emails from any of you, so we do not have an agenda already worked up. A couple of people sent messages saying they wouldn't be able to make it, but the floor is open for anybody who would like to chat, ask any questions, fire away. I'm very comfortable with awkward silence.
Hey, Shane.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
So I've been doing a lot of thinking since our last, since we chatted, put it that way.
Yes.
And had a conversation with one of the owners, his name's Pete, so we'll just... Mm-hmm. Which is pretty much the one I talk to a lot and is my problem child. And basically just laid it on the table, so to speak. Said, you know, as I thought about it, it's not so much my credibility. I mean, first of all, I was set up to fail. As I've been in the office, in the Syracuse office, talking with the team, and just organically these heart-to-heart conversations kind of, you know, came about. And the team just expressing some information. And, you know, as I was being brought in, they were like, we have this superstar coming in and she's going to put us on the right track. And then like, there was this where they felt, well, what are we, stupid? So there was already this defensiveness where I was like, okay, so I was already set up to fail. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the intention, but that's what happened. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's so much, as I told myself, I don't think it's so much my credibility as it is my acceptability. I have to be, you know, I feel like there's an acceptance level here. You know, there's conversations that are going on that I haven't even talked to people. Like I've hardly interacted with certain individuals, but yet I'm being told, one person told me, Michelle, I was really nervous getting on the phone with you because, you know, just stuff that I've heard about you. And that's not the experience I had at all. And I was like, okay, awesome. And I'm like, okay, all I could ask you to do is as you hear rumors, maybe shut them down. You know, don't continue that, you know, for an office that is predominantly remote, the water cooler talk is amazing. But anyway,
what are they afraid of?
It's what we've talked about before. It's just fear. I'm an individual that has more equal or less knowledge, they don't know, but it's just fear, and I'm bringing change. And so my conversation with Pete was, you know, Pete, here's the deal. You put me in this role as an agent of change. That's what you talked about. I said, unless I'm totally off base from our conversations, you told me that you guys knew you needed to change in order to move forward. And that's what you put me in this place to do. But as I try to make change and there's pushback, I'm the one that's being looked at negatively for it. And I'm not saying I approach everything correctly. Yes, I've had my missteps. I said, but if I'm not going to be allowed to do my job, or, you know, I need to start thinking at this point, do I need to move forward? And of course they were like, he was like, no, Michelle, just wait a second. You know, then the conversation became, I'm going to start having these conversations. And this whole week here has been positive. You know, he was trying to, he was very much a micromanager. Pete is a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful salesperson, not a great leader.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that negatively. I mean, it just is what it is. So as this person runs over here, he's allowed this open door, which is great. I believe in open door policies into here, but instead of, you know, comes over, well, do you know what Michelle, it's like a tattletale. Do you know what Michelle did? Michelle did this. And then he runs to me. Hey, Michelle, this is what I heard you did. Instead of saying, did you go talk to Michelle? No, yeah, I don't want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. Right. Instead of just shutting it down, he's allowed. And that's a lot of what's going on. And I mean, I can't stop that. I can't fix that. I can encourage him not to do it, which is what I'm doing, and saying, hey, can you send them to me? Because I'd love to hear their conversation.
Well, let me just first celebrate something. I think this is the first time in a year that you've said this was positive. This has been a positive too. So congratulations. And just know, you know, just as a reminder, Michelle, the one conversation you did relay to me months ago with a sales guide that went pretty wrong. Mm-hmm. Just that one conversation can be enough to fracture rumors about you throughout the system. Mm-hmm. And there may have been other conversations like that that you weren't made aware of that have developed that reputation. And the only way to get past that reputation is to continue to have the kind of conversations you've just had. You just have to keep healing it over and over again.
Yeah. Well, and it's coming from, you know, as leaders or as we're trying to do change and as we're trying to push the, you know, trying to get the change or whatever, there does come times when we have to be like, guys, look, this is the way it needs to. For us to do this, we have to do this. And you have to take that hard stance. And when I've had to take that hard stance, that's when it's being viewed negatively. Mm-hmm. And it's only by certain individuals. Mm-hmm. So, because again, I'm changing processes or procedures or efficiencies or whatever it is that, I mean, in particular, one person put in place. She's no longer in that role. It's like our client onboarding. No longer in that role. In that role because she couldn't do it. She's very upset that I've changed the process. or her perception, right? It is what it is. I can't. I'm aware of people's feelings, but I can't control their feelings. Right.
True enough.
If you're going to be butthurt over that, I don't know what to know. In the meantime, as I did all of that, I spoke with the people who are involved, right? That's the piece she doesn't know. This is just an individual sitting from afar, having an opinion of something that no longer impacts her. But anyways, so, you know, after a lot of, I don't know, I know you've told me it's time to move on, but I still think I'm here for a reason.
Yeah. So
when
I say it's time to move on, I don't mean that you need to leave. I mean that you need to let them know that you're willing and able to move on if something doesn't change materially. Yeah. And the way that you get that confidence is you put out feelers and talk to others, which you basically did without having to put out the feelers. You said, look, if I need to move on, then I need to move on. So now you just need to observe Pete to find out if he's got consistent behavior over time to do what needs to be done in order for you to be successful in that role.
That's where the other owner comes. I mean, it's, and I'm not trying to play the other, because then the other owner calls, his name's Robin, and he's more like me. Like, we got to do what we got to do, and we got to move on, and we got to truck through it. And, you know, he's pretty hands off, and I don't talk to him a lot. And I try to watch myself, because we've had conversations where, you know, not trying to play, like they're trying to, I don't think there's an intentional to try to put Michelle in the middle, but I do kind of feel it. So I'll say, this is the conversation I had with Pete. You know, this is what I told Pete, or this is what I've told Robin. I tell them, I make sure those conversations are pulled into mine, so I'm not being put in the middle. I'm being very transparent with both of them, because I don't have a conversation with both of them at the same time. I don't know what else to do with that, but
like I said, you're doing everything you can. You're doing everything you can. We've worked this long enough to know that you've done everything you can. Now it really is just a function of you deciding whether or not these guys are going to make changes in behavior. Because at this point, that is what is, they have to make sort of a decision about who they're going to back and how. And let's just keep our eyes peeled for that. See what starts to unfold.
Yeah. But so anyways, I just wanted to give that win. But at the same time, I think this is giving me a lot of, ability to grow personally and professionally into the roles that I want to have. So
I love
into
it.
The leader I want to be. I love it. That's how I'm choosing to look at it a little bit more.
I think you should. Congratulations. Sorry, and I'm thrilled to hear that it was a positive week. So keep it up. Thank you, Michelle.
My pleasure.
All right. Who's up next? Who else wants to chat? Check in. If nobody speaks up, I will call on somebody. Stephen, I'm calling on you. Oh, unless there's somebody else. There he is.
All right.
Hey, mostly just following up from last time we chatted and some of the things you were working through. Just wanted to see how those were going, or if you had another active issue you wanted to discuss.
Well, I think, I'm in the middle. I finished video 8 this morning of module 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing what you said last week, as far as like, you can't stop doing what you're doing. You have to just keep going, and sometimes you're going to make mistakes. And so I'm just doing that, and then just trying to kind of figure out where my team is, as far as, are we in module 1 where we have to get the buy-in and kind of go down that road, or are we in more module 3 of kind of coaching them up to performance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just trying to make those assessments.
Awesome. So, I think that's a great observation that you're linking module 3 and module 1 in a sense, because one of the 5 reasons in the Arise model is, of course, engagement. Engagement is connected with buy-in. It's one of the things that drives buy-in is engagement. And so if you take a look at the A in the Arise model, which is, all the steps involved in verifying that people are aware of what winning looks like, that's the starting point of everything. And then asking the kinds of questions, hey, yeah, they seem to be aware. They verified they have the same understanding I have. I've given them all the tools and resources they need. They're still not doing it. There's another reason. And it's one of those other 4. Mm-hmm. And it could be buy-in, but it could be skill, or it could be resource, or it could be an experience or whatever. So I think that's a great module for you to be playing in to explore that.
Okay. And then, I kind of realizing kind of self-aware of what I've done in the past, right? Because my wife asked me that last week, and is like, well, what do you think these group of people are different than, say, 4 or 5 years ago? Or what's been your major downfall when having teams in place? And I think it just comes back to me doing training and bringing them in, having them experience enough to where we then can get them to an outcome driven situation. Because I think, if you ever ask me, my agency's just always growing. We got calls coming in all the time. And sometimes that hinders my ability to spend time with them. And so my main goal is to be my agency. What I'd like to be, an agent working on my business instead of an agent working in my business.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It sounds to me like you're actively doing it. Do you have any questions, anything you want to engage there?
I just think that when I get there, probably I might have more questions around, okay, throwing that out there, here's the set that I'm seeing from my team. Where do you think we need to go? Where do we need to start over and develop this module 1 idea? Or do I need to just pick up where we are and go forward? I think that we're still kind of probably a couple of weeks away from that.
Okay. All right. So you're just still assessing and digesting before we make decisions. Okay.
Well, and myself trying to figure out what's going on. Like, there's times where I'm trying to, am I overreacting about something? Like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. is that something that I need to put my energy to, or is it something that I'm really over like the story? What story am I telling myself?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And is it because of this A, B, and C, or is it just because I'm annoyed and this one more thing that annoyed me today?
Yeah. Well, we've already established. No, I'm just kidding. hang on. Can you guys hear me? I'm getting warnings that my microphone just changed. Can you hear
it me? It did for like about 10 seconds, and now I can hear you fine.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, I think for sure it is worth you just spending time noticing, not to change it or judge it, but just to become aware of it. Notice your intensity level. Mm-hmm. And notice the, and I would just say, you know, throughout a day on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being asleep, 10 being at your most intense, kind of just throughout the day, check in and be like, what is my intensity level as I'm doing this work, as I'm focusing? So that's one thing to become aware of. And if you're hovering around, you know, 5 or 6, that's pretty great. I mean, that's an indicator of appropriate intensity. If you're hovering at a 9 or a 10 all the time, you're going to be experienced as overwhelming by others, and you're going to burn yourself out. That may or may not be the case for you, right? I'm not saying that I know that. I'm just giving you one tool, which is to just start to notice, what is my intensity level? So that's one piece. Okay. Another thing to become aware of is, or just a question for you is, what is your relationship to, I'll say it this way. So there are some personality types for whom observing things as they are, calling them out and naming what is, feels like a really natural thing, but you notice that others around you experience it as criticism. And you yourself might be going, well, I mean, am I being critical or am I just telling it like it is and telling you how I see it? They don't think you're an a-hole. They don't think you're mean. You're not overly judgmental, but you might be a little bit critical. Does that connect for you at all when I say that? Or are you like, that's not really me?
No, I think that's more me at times, because I think there are times where I think I'm being just direct, and people think I might be being critical, but I'm just bringing something that's an everyday thing. Like, I don't have trouble. Like, I'm more of a grill personality, right? Like, let's call it as we see it, get it on the open right away, and let's move past it. And I don't think a lot of people, especially people that are going to work for me, are going to have a lot of that mentality, because if they, I think we're like me, they might be already a State Farm agent, or they're just not my personality type. So I have to sometimes try to be better about the way I approach it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are two things going on here. One might be another kind of video or two you can watch. They won't take long, 5 minutes here or there, but it's the Enneagram bonus module where we talk about the different personality types. And in particular, I'd love for you to watch the one that describes type one. Type one of the Enneagram will give you a little bit of something. And then there's lots of ways you can go deeper on that. But I just want to give you a little bit of framing that sometimes that energy of the one gets experienced in ways that ones don't intend. You know, like you said, it's like, I'm just observing what is, you're doing that wrong. And that's just a statement of fact. I'm not trying to criticize you, but people tend to take it as criticism. That can happen a lot with ones. Ones tend to be more naturally critical.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, and I'll tell you, like yesterday, one of my employees was in my office and she said something. It wasn't really negative, but it wasn't positive. Like, oh, okay, like, did I do something wrong? He said, no, I said, we're just kind of going through of here's something that you need help with of, you know, like we're trying to step-by-step get you to be better. And I think a lot of people, anytime a supervisor wants to talk to them, automatically think it's negative or what did I do wrong, instead of, no, how do we develop you? And I think I even told her that, I said, stop telling yourself that every time you come to my office, it's something wrong, because your brain is starting to tell you that, and you're feeding yourself the wrong words instead of, how am I going to get help going in there? What's going to be positiveness?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's very possible that it isn't you. And it's somebody who, I mean, there are definitely both personalities and just people in general who will interpret anything said as negative, even if it wasn't intended as negative. So that's a possibility too. So I think it's very helpful for you to learn sort of those meta comments. Okay. Remember, your whisper is a shout as a leader. And remember meta comments. Meta comments are the things that you say before the thing. And those meta comments are statements of positive intent. Hey, we need to have a conversation. My interest in the conversation is that we form clearer agreements and we have better aligned expectations. Is that a conversation you're up for? You know, ask permission, state the positive intent. So, don't always have to do that, but sometimes that can be helpful if you know someone's really sensitive. And if you've already had the sensitive conversation where they know, like, hey, like you just said, your brain's telling you negative stuff, you can just state really explicitly, this is not a negative conversation. Whatever you think you're going to hear, know that my intent is a positive one and that it is designed for your best interest. And it comes from a place of your strength. Now, let's see where we can, you know, how we can help you get to the next level. So those kinds of things also, if you notice, if it's just one person that tends to say that to you, it's probably not you. But if like your wife and your kids and others around you have noticed, boy, you're a little bit critical, then it's probably how you come off. And it might be that you're a one in the Enneagram. So that's another thing to notice is like, yeah, you know, I've had people tell me that I'm super aggressive and intimidating, and I've only had one person ever tell me that, right? So I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's you, whatever you're going through, that's not me. Whereas if somebody tells me, you know, something else about my personality that I've heard 100 times, I'm like, yep, that's me. You got it. You're right. I got to work on that. So that's the other thing to notice too. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah. That's possible.
Realistically. And then the only other thing is when I'm going through some of these worksheets and stuff, you know, like I'm coming in early to get them done. So then I can then do them 4 videos a morning or something or whatever I have time for. Sometimes I can't think of a scenario to work on the ones with. Are those more of when it comes up or is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's really when you start to notice that it comes up. So I'm giving you kind of, here are the best practices, here are the ways to think about this. And the more that you can actively work them, the more useful they become. Okay. So if you don't have a scenario, just be like, oh, that's not my issue right now. I'm going to focus on something else.
Okay.
Cool. Does that sound good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
You bet. Okay, who is up next? Who else has something they want to talk about? I'm going to start calling on people.
Morning, Shane. This is Sarah Howard.
Hey, Sarah. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing?
Good. Been thinking about you. How are things progressing?
Still super, super busy, but I had a executive level meetings yesterday again. Even my 3-up came into town yesterday, and so I got to spend some time with him. My 2-up and 1-up spent some time with my entire team in the afternoon yesterday, so it was a well-needed visit. And I think everybody enjoyed that one-on-one time with them. My question for today is, as I'm trying to interview for replacing the underwriting manager I had, it's really kind of, it's not difficult to find somebody who has the technical sides of the skills. What I'm looking for is some suggestions or some anything you might have on how to best assess the empathetic side. And I think I've mentioned this before, in our world, we have a sales job on the inside to make sure that credit admin, you know, likes a deal and wants and fully understands it. And then we have a sales job on the outside with our clients. And so what I'm finding is that a lot of times my team members get so emotionally attached to a deal because they spend a lot of time digging down into the numbers and understanding the business and working with the clients. And then if they get a no, either up or down, it just feels like a whiplash. So we have lots of highs and lows. And so I'm really looking for somebody who can help steady out that high and low and help manage them through it. It's inevitable, but I need somebody who's got the skills to help manage through it.
Yeah. So you're just saying somebody, just so I understand a little bit more clearly, you're describing a role where they're trying to advocate for a client to get access to a loan, I'm assuming, of some kind or some sort of financial instrument. And you then, and somebody in the system may review it and decide, no, it's not, we're not going to do that. And then they have to go tell that person no. And they become attached to it. Did I get that right?
In essence, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else there that nuance, anything I missed that?
No, that's it. Like I said, it's easy to interview and assess people's technical skills on the credit review and knowing how to underwrite that kind of thing. I'm not finding it easy to assess people's emotional IQ to help lead a team through those roller coasters.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the first things I would suggest is, which you probably already do, I think this is fairly straightforward, but a simple suggestion is, tell me about a recent disappointment you had at work and how you worked through that. And just use your intuition, you know, that there'll be obviously different ways that they'll talk, that they could probably try to talk around things. But you might just say, after they tell you the story, you know, tell me about a recent disappointment. Then ask the question, has that ever happened to you before? Like, is this something that you've experienced more than once? Did you notice that you handled it? Do you handle that typically in the same way, or do you have another way? Another question you can ask is, you could kind of reveal it, like you give a little bit of self-revelation that's like, you know, sometimes in my work, things will happen that are really disappointing to me. And the way that I tend to deal with that is I go on a walk and I remind myself that blah, 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 whatever method you use. But you might just ask, how historically do you deal with disappointment? And those kinds of questions, that line of questioning, will give you a little bit of an insider window. But I think as big an issue is not as much the hiring as it is the managing them through that. In the same way that you would manage a sales team, you know, if someone is a sales team manager, they're managing emotions more than anything. And if somebody goes on, you know, 10 calls and doesn't close the sale, they're going to be discouraged. They're going to feel down. They're going to feel overwhelmed. They're not going to want to get on another call. There's all those emotions that go into it. And so a sales manager has to know, how do I then connect with and activate and unlock and bring them back? Because I would say that one of the great, if people are coming to you and they're really bummed out when it doesn't go through, that's a great sign. That's a really good indicator that they cared enough about this potential customer. So, I mean, it depends on when you say, I need them to be more even keeled. Like, are there certain symptoms you're seeing that are really problematic for the business when that happens? Like, did they become, do they kind of collude against you, or what are observations you're having?
And this isn't, it's not like they're, I'm trying to be, find somebody who can be protective of that team, right? This is the underwriting team alone is who this person will be managing. And the underwriters work with the salespeople to try and put together the full package that then goes up to our credit officer for review and acceptance or modification. But I'm finding that my underwriters are almost as emotionally attached to the deal as the salesperson is. And so when the underwriters get involved, and often they're talking with the clients as well, so it's understandable that they're getting that attached to a deal, because when they dig in and spend 2, 3, 4 days analyzing the forecast and other things that we get from the customer. And then we have a credit officer who says, I don't believe the forecast. You have to cut that back. What I'm seeing is that my underwriters are even emotionally drained from after working that closely with the client and putting together what they felt like was a true assessment, sensitized, analyzed, 8 different ways that they know how to analyze it. And then when it gets pushed back from above, they feel like, oh, they're just emotionally drained because they spent all that time doing this assessment and then it didn't get passed.
Okay.
And so
is your belief?
Sorry, I need an underwriting manager who's able to help them with that ebb and flow because it is inevitable in our team.
I see. Okay. And so just so I understand, is your belief or assessment about this emotional dynamic one that you think shouldn't exist? Or is it more like it's understandable and we get it and it's going to happen? We need someone to help manage through it. Like, does that make sense?
That is exactly what I'm looking for. I believe it's inevitable in this role. I have really great people. Like you said a minute ago, it's great that they're that emotionally attached to trying to get things together.
So you're not wanting to.
I love that, but I just don't want it to be so emotionally draining when the answer is no. Like, we can't win every deal. I get that, but it gets hard to keep their spirits up if I don't have support in that from that underwriting manager position.
Got it. Okay. So really when you're interviewing, you're not talking about how they personally dealt with disappointment, although that's actually useful too, because yes, how they deal with it is how they will try to help others deal with it.
Yes,
and if they have a fairly, yeah. And so I would say, you know, the other thing that you'll want to make clear to the person then is you'll want to make clear that, which I'm sure you do, but a big part of your role will be to create the emotional containers and rhythms necessary to respect the ups and downs of this job.
Okay.
So a classic example would be, instead of just continuing to tell people to push through, it's no different than like, just take, go sit on the bench for a little bit, go out, take the afternoon off. That was a big loss. That was frustrating. So creating sort of permission and structures and containers that allow people to go through the emotions that they need to go through, rather than just kind of like, yep, you tried it, didn't work, get back to work. Because what they're going through is the myth of Sisyphus. They're pushing a boulder up a hill, they get to the top, and then it rolls right down. And that's incredibly demoralizing and discouraging. And so if you've acknowledged what you have, that that's an inevitable part of the role, just like sales has a version of that. And sales teams have ways of helping people manage that. You know, there's emotional rituals that they go through to try to bounce back and to get back. And I think the same is true with people like this who are really putting a lot of effort and energy into something, and then to not see it come to fruition when they believed in the business and the person they were talking to and were excited to get them help. And now they can't help them. And that's a hard thing to do. Nobody likes saying no.
I know.
So anyway, I would just say, whoever you're hiring, you would make sure they understand, and you would want to ask, how do you deal with other people who you lead who have emotional downs? How have you dealt with that in the past? And if they kind of go, well, I just tell them, you know, they got to get right back on that horse and they got to keep going. And that's probably not going to be a great person to lead. They're going to burn people out. They're going to make people frustrated. People are they're not going to be effective. So you just want to see, like, do they have the rhythm of breathing? There are seasons of exertion and seasons of rest. And after you've exerted and it was a loss, it's time to take a knee and just recover. Take an afternoon off, go on a walk, go lay in the grass, go do something to take your mind off it. Come back tomorrow and we'll revisit and we'll see what we can do to get started again. So that would be an example of how I would try to assess that person. But I would also, candidly, what will ultimately matter more than that is whether you give them that guidance. Because if you're saying, this is what needs to happen, they'll do it. They'll find a way to do it. And the other thing is, I just think you have a lot of intuition. So use your intuition.
I appreciate that. And yeah, I've used your Go Lay in the Grass a lot in the last couple of weeks with my team. So I appreciate that guidance that you've provided us in the past. It's good. Useful.
Good. And you have high levels of awareness of these rhythms. And I think whoever you hire, you just need to state for them, hey, technical part of your job is 50%. The other 50%, we're going to get the absolute best from our team when we start working in the emotional system. When we start understanding what's happening emotionally, how do we respond to that? How do we set new stories? How do we give them breaks? How do we, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Okay. Those are great. Thank you very much, Shane.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. All right. Who else would like to check in?
Hey, Shane, it's Megan Summers.
Hey, Megan.
Thanks for the time today. Such a good call. I just have really appreciated learning from everyone, and your feedback has been exceptional. I am preparing for a bunch of meetings next week where my new boss is going to be visiting my offices and my teams for the first time. So I spent a lot of time in the last few weeks co-creating the agenda together. So getting an idea of what she wanted to accomplish while she was in town. I shared some ideas of exposure. I'm sensitive to the fact that she's worked for a company a number of years, but never like in my division. So I was trying to give her a mix of exposure to our frontline customers, so some external opportunities, and then some internal opportunities with our teams. So never having had a new boss in 17 years, I feel like a fish out of water. And so I was questioning, I've got two leaders that work underneath me, and I'm having her kind of attend a few of their team meetings. And it occurred to me, should I be attending those with her, or should I give my leaders the space and experience with her without me?
Well, first of all, great to see you again. I do remember you were having this meeting and this shift was happening. So one thing that just occurs to me is in the bonus module training, the first 90 days success plan, there is a piece of work around how to work for a boss, how to work for a new boss, the kind of the do's and the don'ts. So I think that'd be good for you to review, just to watch. It's also in the guidebook. You could probably read parts of it too. But I recommend that in general to kind of get your head around like, okay, what are my responsibilities for the new boss and what are theirs and what should I expect and what do I do? What is your relationship like with this new boss?
We've known each other, I guess, as acquaintances for several years. I've never gotten to work with her, but I have a decent relationship. I think what's different for me is we're the opposite. I'm pretty direct and she's all the feels. So I have noticed that. I also, based on what I can see, I'm a lot older. I'm 20 years older than her. So it's very different from any other boss relationship. She treats me very well. I'm happy with our interactions and I am very excited. I think she can really help our distribution channels and break down some barriers that we're having with the corporate office. So I am very excited for what I think she can do.
Okay. In general, I'll just give you that. So I just wanted to make sure there was nothing else there. Well, that's fine. In general, I recommend you be there when your boss is there.
Okay.
And the reason is because it's good for you guys to keep getting to know each other. But it's also important that if she's all the feels, often what can happen with people who are like that is they can talk and speak, in that really empathic way and really connect people. And what they don't often realize is that sometimes the thing they say gets hurt because of, by virtue of her role, will get heard as a directive and an agreement rather than just passing comments. And so it's good for you to be there to help anchor and help your team interpret what in that whole conversation that transpired are directives for you to follow, and what are those are things you don't need to worry about.
Okay, helpful. Thank you.
So I would say that should be the case. And until you're at a place that you really know and trust and understand how she engages with a team and the team knows how to engage with her, then you probably don't have to be there in all the meetings. But especially early on, I definitely recommend you just start getting in the system, making sure everybody understands what's going on. That's the main thing. I don't sense any ill will or bad intent. It's just protecting misunderstandings.
Yep. Perfect. The other thing I felt like was really important is a mix of business and pleasure. So I worked in kind of a few group activities that are outside of the office, some things outside. And so we sort of get to know each other personally as well.
I like it. That's awesome.
Okay, super.
How are you doing overall?
I'm struggling with staffing challenges. We have had a ton of turnover on our team, and I have several jobs open and posted, and I'm not getting a lot of qualified candidates. Anybody else experiencing the same? And if you have ideas on where to find qualified candidates, please share.
Can I do want to open it to the group.
Yeah.
About that. But before I do, I just want to ask, what level are we talking about? What kind
they
of
are,
experience level?
Yeah.
What kind of roles are these?
Yeah. Sales, it's a hybrid role. It's sales and account management. Great job. It is for existing insurance business. So I work for Principal Financial Group. We're an ancillary carrier for employee benefits. So the dental, vision, disability, life insurance, and it's folks who are frontline with our customers. We get our business through independent agents. So our agents are customer, and then the customer and their members as well. So these folks are, it's not a remote opportunity. I do need these folks to live in Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, or Kentucky. But it's a very high, highly paid job. I can teach anybody insurance. We're looking for folks that like to work with people and have some sales ability.
And what pay range is this?
I would say the average pay range is in the high 90s. The pay range would be high 90s to 120.
Okay. That's helpful. I have I don't know if you're on the call. I have a recruiter that I work with that I recommend to some of my leaders, depending on what you're hiring for. It might be a benefit for you to have a conversation with her. I'm happy to make that introduction. I'll send an email for both of you if that would be useful. But often recruiters can just make your life a whole lot easier. And I will say that, yes, it's pretty common. There is a shift that's happened. It's post-COVID. In particular, roles that have low sense of meaning and purpose and roles that require you to be somewhere are a little bit harder to hire for, in my observation. Remote roles tend to get are a little bit easier to hire for. You know, after COVID, everybody was like, why am I doing all this? Like, this is stupid. I can just do this and it works fine. And I don't get what the point of this is. And also people were willing to do more with less. You know, they're like, I don't need to burn all my life up trying to do this job. And so you're in the world that everybody else, I think, is swimming in. Anybody else want to comment on that? I got a yes from Sarah. Anybody else?
Agreed, 100%. Recruiters do make things easier. But there has been that shift where employees want to work more remote, have more of that work life balance. It's, so yeah, following in I have found it hard to find more qualified candidates. So right there with Megan,
do you want an introduction to the recruiter, or is that not where your head is?
My head would be there, Shane. There wouldn't be budget for that. So I really, really appreciate the recommendation.
Okay. All right.
Megan, this is Sarah. You've probably already done this, but I keep going back to my existing team members, especially those that are doing the job phenomenally well, and just ask if they know anybody who might be interested. But I'm sure you've already tried that. But we're all in the same boat right now. It's really tough to get good qualified candidates. It's odd. Pre-COVID, you know, you'd stick a job application out there and you'd have 100 applicants in a day. And now I don't get 5.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate your feedback.
There's also the other big shift is the gig economy. You know, just increasingly, I can use my phone to have 4 different jobs that I can make money on, you know, from driving, delivering food, delivering packages, renting my car out, Airbnb, all that. So the good news about that is that it is propping up the economy in many ways, and people are less frightened. But it also means they can walk away from jobs that aren't that exciting and demand too much of you and lose freedom. So I, you know, in general, my advice to business owners who understand what's shifted, I don't think this shift is going to change that much. I think it's going to stay this way for a while. I encourage them to start thinking in very different terms about what you require of people. And just because you were used to, and again, this isn't stuff that some of you that are not the owner don't have the power to change these things. But in general, I would say increase the importance of meaning and purpose and significance. That is a major place where people will plug in and feel a sense of really meaningful purpose, in the same way that Southwest Airlines employees are way happier than American Airlines employees. They do the same job, but they just have no problem finding people because it's a really meaningful, heart-based place to work. And then the other is, people are going to have to get used to increasing the flexibility, maximum flexibility, and focus way more on rewards around outputs and less around you have to be here at this time doing this thing. And those are things that you won't have control over in your role potentially, but I'm just letting you all know that that's the kind of coaching that I'm giving business owners who are trying to get good talent and are struggling. If you're getting good talent, you don't have to worry about it. But if you're starting to find it hard, and often big corporate jobs are where it's getting hardest, because corporations tend to expect a lot and have a lot of structures and rigidity, whereas smaller businesses have a little easier time because it's more human.
That's really helpful feedback. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Good. Anybody else want to comment on Megan's challenge? Anybody else experiencing that or want to weigh in, give input? Or maybe somebody's not experiencing it and tell us why you're not experiencing that. Okay. Sounds like nobody else wants to talk about that. That's fine. I won't take it personally. Maybe a little personally. All right. I'm going to call on the next person I see. Tim. Damn. Let's see if Tim's around. Tim, are you there?
I am, but I've been horizontal in bed for 48 hours. I'm sick.
Oh, no. Do you have the COVID?
No, but I was dog-sit yesterday. I pretty much slept all day through the day yesterday, and I'm just joining, but not much more than that.
Okay. Well, then I will this once, I'll give you a hall pass. You don't have to talk.
Appreciate it.
Well, we hope you feel better. Sorry you're not feeling well.
Yep.
All right. JD, anything you got for us? I'm going to assume JD is multitasking. Reese, anything? Is Reese there?
I am, actually. Hello, all.
Reese, greetings. How are you?
Great. Can you hear me now?
Again, yeah.
Actually, you have anything for us? Anything you want to chat about? Or are you good?
Well, I just did the challenge last week of just do whatever.
Yeah, how was it?
Actually, I just did it right before we started the meeting. I went right into the elliptical just because it just, for some reason, it goes, yeah, you need to do it. I'm like, okay.
I love it. How was that experience?
It was good, actually. One thing, if I'm on an exercise machine or something, it just clears my mind, and then it kind of made my receptors a lot better with the whole conversation. So I just was, the back of my mind is he's going to call on me and I'm going to be gasping for air and wouldn't be able to talk.
Anyways, exciting trip coming up. I'm headed to the Philippines on Monday.
Okay.
Next week to finally, I think, start what I was hired to do, to establish a physical location and renewed operations back in the Philippines.
Okay.
I still have doubts as to the future of the company, just because, again, leadership has always been about bottom line. So any wellness or any people-centric options I present, always ask immediately, what would the cost be? And I've tried to get your cue, you've got to answer in a positive language. I said, well, what would the cost be if we don't do that, is my reply. So I think I've been giving them a lot of things to think about. I just want to find out what the next step would be to close the deal and have them completely buy in that, people are essential. And treating people right is essential to a successful operation. As you said, when you mentioned Southwest Airlines, I know that firsthand. I'm in Dallas, so they are one of the premier employers over here. And American Airlines has just posted tons of jobs, and they just can't find anybody to go to them.
Yep. I use this example a lot, and there are others like it where it's fascinating how much power and motivation occurs in humans when you have an organization that understands the power of culture and they know the rituals, the tools, and the processes for how to actually construct that culture in a way that's going to be meaningful to people as part of work. And Southwest Airlines knows how to do that. And I know how to do that. And I've worked with other companies that know how to do it, that I've helped do it. And it just gets enormous results. It's a game changer for people. So after a certain amount of money, paychecks are no longer what motivate people.
That is so true. And I think he's still in that mind of thinking. He says, well, just, let's just rehire. They had a big issue about cutting costs, so they dropped willy-nilly just about 20% of our actual work staff, people that actually do the work, right? And then he basically based it on, well, if we're not able to bill for them, we get rid of them. I was like, well, that's not true. You have service level agreements you have to adhere to, and those people are vital to that. So, well, client finds out, of course, blowback happens. Now he's trying to rehire these people back. Guess what? Nobody wants to come back. Exactly. But after being treated that way. So I'm trying to ingrain, as I said, a culture of treating people right. I mean, not even high pay or what, we do have a band of salaries that we have to adhere to. But as you said, paycheck only goes a certain way. If I'm trying to rehab the image of the company and change the leadership's mind. So I'm having a tough time with that. So
I think it's going to be nearly impossible without his buy-in.
Yeah.
He will have to back and support the things that you're wanting to do. There are some things you can do, but what will start to happen is you'll start to feel split between kind of defending the teams and advocating on their behalf and then trying to represent his perspective to the team. It's going to put you in a really untenable position. Yeah. So it's important to continue to see if you can get him to buy in. Okay. Well, and he just may not be able to.
I know. Well, we'll keep working at it. He's Mr. I built this company from the ground up, and I'm like, with his own hands. I'm like, not really. You do.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the expert mind, and it's closed to possibilities. It's unfortunate. All of us who do what we do need to cultivate the beginner's mind, which is limber and open and curious and wondering rather than certain, closed, fixed. So he's got a pretty fixed position, it sounds like. So that's going to be a challenge. That's going to be a challenge for you for sure.
We'll work on it. But that beginner's mind, it's a godsend, by the way. That 90-day plan that you, first 90 days, it was a great help. I don't know if anybody else have had the chance to read or watch it. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, I also finished your Catskill Bark book, and I got today in the mail the 7 management. So it's all Shane all the time.
Wow, that's a lot of Shane. You took my advice to heart, didn't you?
When I said,
just focus on my work.
Yes.
I very self-serving to me.
See Tony Robbins crying over there, losing me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that poor guy, he's not getting anybody listening to him anymore.
Exactly.
I'm forcing people to listen only to me. No, that's good. Well, I'm glad you're getting immersed in it. You're getting familiar. You already read Catskill Park, huh?
Yes, I did. That last chapter, by the way, moving. Very
glad. Thank you so much. I'm impressed. I'm really amazed. Okay.
Well, Reese, I'm jealous. You got your copy already. I'm waiting on mine. On the second book. I'm still working on Catskill Bark. I'm Larry, a slow reader. Yeah.
Larry,
I'm a better listener.
It's hard to find, Shane, by the way.
What's hard to find? The book
Seven Management. Yeah. No, Seven Management
is hard to find.
Yeah, it's I had to get it's hard to prime, I guess. It's not, it wasn't available to Amazon Prime. I have to go through a secondary.
Oh, there's
so it took a lot to deliver instead of the usual really 3 days. Yeah.
That's really good for me to know. I gotta get in touch with my fulfillment house and figure out what's going on. That book was done through a different publishing arm. And so I need to thank you for letting me know that more than one of you, it sounds like, have that issue. So I got to talk to them.
All right.
Thank you for that reason.
No worries. And is it Michelle who's reading?
I am
going through that Cats Don't Bark. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm just a slow reader. I'm a better listener.
I should have probably done that book as an audiobook. I have another one of my books as an audiobook, but it's a real grind to do that.
You do something pixels.
Yeah, flickering.
I have that downloaded too. Yep.
Back when I was a pastor, that's when I did that book. Anyway. Sorry. Yeah. So
yes, I did look. So I did look to see if they were on Audible first.
Yeah, sorry about that. I really should do an Audible version of that. Okay, cool. So let's see. We're anybody else? Anybody else want to check in, chat? Anything going on that they need? Otherwise, we can close out our time.
Yeah. Hi, Shane. Irish here.
Hi, Irish.
All right. Yeah. I have actually sent you an email a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to let you know that I already had a conversation with our HR team, and I've been listening to all your workshops, and I just want to thank everyone here. I've been listening closely with all the discussion, and I'm learning a lot. I think the call went well. Shane, I just remained positive all throughout the conversation. I'm not sure if, just to give an overview. So we've been actually acquired recently. So prior to the acquisition, I've been working closely with our CEO. And of course, after the acquisition, everything, a lot of changes with my role. And I've been positive, I'm open to whatever possibility where will I be assigned to. And so far I've been, I've been working, I've been having positive experience working with my new boss, working with my new colleagues. But there were just some concerns practically with our internal team. We're not yet fully acquired. So we're actually located offshore. So we've been acquired by a company in the US. And so things are still a bit gray. And when I spoke with me not being work, you know, I'm no longer connected with the CEO of the company that I've been working. But I think, you know, with working with the new leaders right now, I would say that in just less than a month of working with them, I've been influencing some of the new leaders that I've been working with. So I think it's positive. So I'm just continuously, you know, doing my best in doing what I think is right. And then those other issues that needs to be addressed because of the some of the things that are not yet fully structured because of the acquisition. So thank you for all the learnings that I've been getting from the recordings. I think it helped me a lot handle those conversations.
I'm so glad to hear that, Irish. Thanks for giving me the update. Also, the first 90-day success plan bonus might be really useful for you. Your world got really kind of turned upside down in a lot of ways with mergers and everything that's going on, acquisition. So that might be really useful to help you navigate a few things too.
Yeah, will do. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Okay, who else? Anybody else? Clay, Megan, you guys have anything you want to chat about? Allow that silence to mean you're either doing something else or you are good the way you are. Okay. Well, with that, unless anybody has anything else, JD, you have anything?
Yeah. It kind of goes a little bit with what I was hesitant to bring up, just with what you guys were talking about earlier with kind of going with the positive intent with the Enneagram 1 and things of that nature. I had a half day intervention and discussion with one of our pharmacy managers that probably fits that Enneagram 1 type pretty well. And he's struggling with his team quite a bit on to where they don't feel that they can come to him anymore. And he's seeing it all as very business cut and dry, and he's got to give polished answers, and he's got to think through everything very analytically in dealing with the human side of things. Wonderful pharmacist. Human side of things, not quite there. I compared him quite a bit to Sheldon, like off of Big Bang. Be sarcastic. With what's up?
Yeah, he's got spectrum tendencies then.
Yes. So one thing I was going to cinching, which I think you'd sit on to me on an insight too with some leadership in that, where with some of the polarities and that, and him trying to find where those things could be within him and then his team. So I guess one kind of check if that seemed to fit well there with that, as well as just any other advice to where he's really hesitant, like he completely shut off just talking to his team pretty much when they were bringing up issues and concerns with how, and they were wanting him to talk to him or talk to them and have time with them and meet, but he ended up just shutting them off completely.
Okay. So I'll give just some vague. It's a little vague to me what we're talking about, but I'll just tell you my observation of working with people on the spectrum is they're actually very, very good at making the kinds of adjustments that we talk about when you give them paint by numbers. And so I have a guy whose client is on the spectrum and an absolute genius and like deeply hated by people because he has no emotional awareness of the things that he says. And so all I had to do is just give him a series of like classic example. This was great. Somebody on the team asked him a question and he just goes, your question reveals your total lack of understanding of the subject that I can't even address it. You know, it was so like cold and hard, and like he happened to be right, but it was not like the right way to approach him. So I just told him like, you know, there's other ways to do this. And I had him memorize certain phrases. So like the switches, you know, on, I think it's module 2, there's that sheet that you can just memorize. Like when you want to say this instead. When you want to say this instead. There's a little bit of a formula to it. And often I found that helped people on the spectrum just know, like, oh, okay, so if I say these words in this order, that has a different impact emotionally than if I say these other words, because I don't understand that. I don't relate to that. But I know now that I know I have it, I can execute this thing. And so so they just need help navigating certain things. Now, the real question is how open he is to that kind of feedback and coaching. The guy I'm talking about is like, yeah, I want help because I don't understand why people are this way. I feel like I live on another planet and I don't understand it. And so I just go, yeah, you are living on another planet. And it's not fair because the people do process things neurologically differently than you're used to. And so, let me help you by painting by numbers and you will see different kinds of results. Does that help at all?
It does, yes, because that was the biggest thing he was asking for yesterday was answers. He's like, I see the problem. I just don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, and so you need to give him really specific scripts.
Okay.
Like truly paint by numbers. And I can't give you the script because I don't know what the actual issues are, but it literally could be the switches thing. You could give them that. Just be like, here's a bunch of phrases. Don't ever say, say these instead. And it'll help you. Little things like tell him the way that you are speaking. Just so I understand, is there a specific complaint that the team has about him?
One specific one would be that they feel talked down to when they make an error.
Okay.
So he brings this to their attention and he tries to be pretty simple with it. He says, and he's just like, hey, check out day supply on this, or hey, look at this. And it's probably in the tone, maybe.
That's very common for spectrum people when they give direction. It feels condescending. It feels like, a bit abrasive. So one of the best tricks you can give is tell them, ask permission next time to give feedback. Even if you know you don't need to ask permission, just say, would it be okay if I gave you a little bit of feedback? Or would it be okay if I offered some direction on this? Mm-hmm. And then when they say yes, and he goes, do this, not that, they've consented to enter the conversation. And so so I think that can be very, very helpful to someone on the spectrum. Also the meta comments, like we were talking about with Stephen, the meta comment is super helpful before you make any comment, because you can say, and you would just give him what the meta comment is so that he knows exactly how to say it. And it's literally, if it's a longer, if it's just a simple correction, asking permission is often the easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that you can do though is say, okay, if it's a bigger conversation that it's going to be more tense, then what you start with is my interest or goal in this conversation is to help you experience your work better and perform at a better level. Is that something that you'd be up for? That's both a positive intent and a permission together to help frame what's happening. And the last thing that I would say is allowing that person permission to say to others, I don't have, he's maybe not at this point, right? But my client I told to do this, where I basically said, you should prepare people before you begin a longer working relationship. Just say to them, hey, I have a neurological condition that people call being on the spectrum. And it allows me to be very strong in some areas. And it means that I have a harder time interpreting emotional context in conversations. So you may experience me as harsh and condescending and these things. These are not my intention. And I'll try my best to communicate in other ways. But please know that that's something that I deal with. Often that's enough for people to just be like, okay, got it. He talked to me like I was a three-year-old. He's already alerted me that spectrum-y stuff. I can kind of get over it. Now, again, he may not be at that place where he wants to reveal that, but I often find it's very useful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Anything else, JD, or are you good?
No, I think I'm good. I guess just following up with what we've dealt with or went over in the past and a little bit of what I brought up during our first round of calls, and I'm sure Megan and Clay will be fine to hear on it as well. They did announce the three of us as VPs of our company at our manager meeting this past Friday. So
what? The three of you got promoted to VP?
Yes.
Congratulations. That's incredible. I will take full credit for that.
Figured so.
That's amazing. Seriously. Well done, you guys. Oh, what an achievement. Gosh, I'm so excited for you. I truly am. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, did you get new responsibilities or is it just a title change?
It's a little bit of a title change. I mean, we had new responsibilities added to us here over the last 3 to 4 months where they're kind of testing waters to make sure that we would be able to fit in there and do those type of things. And they were pretty sure we were, but just wanted to go with that. So, but announced wow. the company this past Friday. So
I'm incredibly proud of all of you and excited for you and look forward to continuing this journey together.
Great. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Okay, we had a late addition to the call. John Mark, do you want to just introduce yourself briefly? Can you hear us? Okay. You're on mute if you're there.
Yeah, hi, Shane. Yeah, my name is Dr. John Mark Opondo. I am calling in from Saskatchewan, Canada, and I'm a medical health officer, which many people may not know what that actually means. So I'm a physician who works in public health. A lot of my work at present is leading public health teams in COVID pandemic response for the whole province. We've divided our work into, you know, the hospital side of things. For those who know sports, this is like the defense side. And my team is the offense strategy side. So I work as a leader in a pretty big organization, the Saskatchewan Health Authority, which is a 40,000 person operation. I'm not the boss. I have my leadership and we have an executive leadership team, but I do lead the public health response team with a group of about 20 medical health officers, not necessarily all direct reports. I would say there's like 5 to 10 who deal with communicable disease as their daily work. And the way we've organized our work in Saskatchewan is as a clinician leader, a clinical leader, I do have an administrative counterpart who is an executive director for public health and population health. And between the two of us, we kind of, you know, come together, plan, run our committees, plan what is actually quite a big waterfront of infection prevention, COVID response, COVID immunization, testing, communication. So it's a lot of things.
Amazing. Good. what is something you're most looking to get out of this program? What are you looking for help with? Just so the group here can hear you and maybe they can also be helpful.
Yeah. You know, the main thing that in my early discussions that I really found Shane's videos very helpful is, you know, team leadership and structure is one thing. And I think we have the structure in place, but really being a good leader that moves people forward in a unified way. So I do have not much rank, no clout at all, but most of the people I'm leading are actually peers. You know, they're all physicians with the same qualifications. I probably just have worked longer than they have. But I do have, you know, administrative structures as well that helps you know, distinguish how my work is different. But really what I'm actually trying to get out of this is, how do we move complex operations forward in a way that is engaging and is motivating, and everybody kind of understands the vision, mission of the work we're trying to do, in a way that is, you know, kind of people-centered, but also people really understand the purpose of what we're doing. So it's a lot of things within our teams. Maybe to explain this a little better, each medical health officer has teams of nurses, public health inspectors, and other medical support teams that interact with the public. So it's actually, it ends up being teams in the hundreds. I'm not even sure I have the exact number of how many people are actually parts of my team. It's a few hundred.
Got it.
So thank you.
Well, we're glad you could make it. I know you're making it at the very tail end of the call, but hopefully next week we'll get you on a little earlier. And okay. Is there any question you want to have for this week? I mean, I can give you a few more minutes for a specific.
No, not really, Shane. I actually just wanted to understand the actual meeting process and the Wednesday touch-in. So I'm glad, even though it's very brief, something happened with my Zoom. I kind of started logging in quite early, but it wasn't linking me in. So this is why I ended up on the phone. And in that gap, this has always been my problem. Somebody snuck a meeting in into my calendar that they started calling me. So I hate doing double shift, but I had cleared Wednesday to be able to do this. So maybe next week will be better for me.
Good. Well, yeah, and the protocol is just hop on the call. And if you have a question, you can email me in advance, or you can just get on a call and ask questions as they come up.
If someone could just send me the link to the recording, then I can catch up with the parts of the meeting that I missed. Mm.
Yeah, the recording will be emailed to you. And okay. Then you can always go into the module itself, and under the coaching link tab, it'll give you the recordings of all the coaching calls that came before.
Okay.
So you can get that. And then I'm seeing a question from JD. Let me just answer that while I'm on the call here. Hang on just one second. I thought I was in module 2, but I could be wrong.
It makes sense that it's in module 2. I'm just struggling on finding that conversation switches.
I'm going to jump to, it's possibly module 3. Yeah, it's module 3, video 11, module 3.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. All right. Okay, everybody. Great chatting with you. Give one last call going once. Anybody else want to ask anything? Otherwise, we'll close out our time together going twice. Going thrice. Sold. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We'll see you next week.
Bye, all.
Bye.